Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? I think you're still sleeping. Wow. Let me try that one again. How are you this morning? Okay. Awake now. Good. Good. Wow, we have some challenging teachings this morning. Challenging teachings. These words from Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. These words have caused some of the most destructive actions in the history of the church, some of the most horrendous crimes against people have been perpetuated using this scripture passage as justification. And I don't want to tell you that the words are unimportant, because they're very important. But I had a friend, very wise, once say to me, "Well, I just can't believe God doesn't expect us to make mistakes sometimes. People have been coerced and browbeaten into staying in abusive marriages because of this. People have been physically maimed because of these passages. People have been sentenced to all kinds of horrendous penal sentences because of these passages. But truly, it would be unrealistic. It would be folly to believe that God expects that we would never make mistakes. Last week we talked about the righteousness of the Pharisees, which is totally legally based, and Jesus exhorts us to be more righteous than that. That it's not just about the legal aspects, but it's about God's mercy and grace in there as well. So I think it's very crucial to look at the basic thrust of each one of these proclamations is talking about our relationships to other humans and to God. That when we allow things to come between our relationships with each other, then we need to repent. When we look at other people as things for our own gratification, we need to repent. That marriage needs to be more than just about self-satisfaction, but it needs to be about growing in our ability to hold others in mutual respect and compassion. Truly, God knows that we will make mistakes. But that doesn't mean we never strive for it, right? I had an image of setting the bar high, and I, being, you know, a track and field person, then see the pole vaulters. And the concept that a pole vaulter would run and there's this little cup and you put your pole into it, you literally drive into it, then you plant the pole. So this is actually part of pole vaulting. You have to learn how to hit the cup with the pole. You're running with this giant pole. You know, I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole, right? Well, you got this giant pole, and they're running full speed. This is with a giant pole, which kind of makes you balance interesting anyway. And then you got to hit that little cup with the tip of the pole. So that's just a part of the training. Hit the cup, and then you keep running full speed, so that the bar bends. And then you kick your legs up and you go upside down, and right? It's amazing. It's amazing. And watching people learn is amazing. And the concept that you would run and smack into that bar and it would fall down and you'd quit. Well, I knocked it down. Shoot, that's it, right? No. You set it again and you try again and you try again and you try again, and try again until you clear it. And when you clear it, what do? You raise it up, and then you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and do it again until you clear it, and when you do, you raise it up. That's right. Setting the bar high. This is what Jesus is exhorting us to strive for, this higher level, knowing that we're going to make mistakes. There's going to be times where we're going to miss it totally. We might even not even get the tip of the pole in the cup, right? But we strive for it. We keep striving for that high mark. And Paul says, when I first came to you, I couldn't speak to you as mature, spiritually mature people. I had to give you spiritual milk. I had to give you baby food to start with. And so this is the point for us. This is the point. That we start out with the basics, with just trying to get the basics and the simple things, but we are implored and compelled to move beyond that, to move beyond that to the more challenging things, and to really wrestle with those and to work with those until we are comfortable, until we are able to really deal with these challenging teachings and what they mean for our lives today. So I was thinking about the concept of working up to it, right? You start with something simple, as Paul says, with spiritual milk or the baby food, and you work up to it. And I was also seeing, because I'm thinking about Boy Scout Sunday, and I'm thinking about the basic woodworking projects. Have you ever seen those? Like sometimes they'll start with the Cub Scouts and they all make a birdhouse, right? And sometimes those birdhouses are interesting is a fine way to put it. You wonder, you know, if a bird would actually ever want to inhabit that. Fortunately, birds probably have a different perspective than humans. But, you know, they start out, right? How many of you ever did woodworking, right? You started out with something simple, trying to make something simple and learning how to use the tools and how they work together. And I remember, my first husband was blind. He's legally blind. He would say, "I'm blind in one eye and can't see out of the other." And I wanted to do woodworking. And so they have special tools that they make for blind people so that they can do woodworking. And but he took a wood shop class at the community college, which was near our house. And so, you know, the shop teacher had never worked with a blind guy, but, you know, let's do this. Let's figure out how these tools work and do it together. But you have to start with the hand tools before you can move to the power tools. And my husband was so frustrated with this because it's really hard. It's really hard to saw a straight line with a hand tool when you can, you know, line your little thing up and just zoom it through, right? But the point being that before you get to the zimming it through, you don't want to saw your thumb off, right? You want to get some respect for how the tools work and that kind of stuff. And especially when you're blind, don't want to start too fast on those power tools. We start with the simple projects. We start with the basics. And hopefully, we're working with our children, teaching them the basics of our faith. That God is love, and we behave in loving ways. And when we start to behave in ways that are not loving to each other, then we stop and we try to figure out what's really going on inside of us. What's the impediment that's prohibiting God's love from flowing through us? How do we build that compassionate heart? How do we build that mutual respect and honor each other, even in our differences? And what do we do when somebody's bullying us? What do we do when somebody's bullying a friend? What do we do when we feel like bullying somebody? We just start with those basic things. And we keep moving forward through our formation. And I think of then Paul exhorting people to grow. We're trying to be useful to God in building the kingdom, right? In building God's holy realm. We need to allow God to hone us to be useful. You know that saying, they're not the sharpest tool in the shed, right? Okay, well, this is not a goal to strive for. Yes, I've been a Christian 49 years, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. No, that's not what you want, right? I mean, we don't want to brag, but we want to be useful to God. And in order to be useful to God, we have to get in and wrestle with these things. We have to do those deep self-evaluations, looking at ourselves through God's eyes of love. Because so many times when we do the self-evaluation, we look at ourselves with critical and judgmental eyes, condemning every flaw and weakness, hearing the harsh words of Scripture and comparing ourselves, and forgetting that the righteousness of God is more than legalism, but also is grace and mercy. So fearlessly opening ourselves up before God and inviting God to help us see ourselves with that grace and mercy, and also with high expectation. What is it that's impeding God's Spirit inside of us? What is it that we're clinging to that prevents us from becoming that sharp tool, you know, that makes it hard for God to be able to use us fully in building God's holy realm, that makes it so that we are not the people that we really want to be? We have to do that self-examination. But seeing ourselves through God's eyes of love, that we are precious and beloved, and even though we have fallen down, God just wants to lift us up and dust us off and let's try again, right? We have important work to do. The world is hungering to know God. The time is now for us to be out sharing the gospel. I find, okay, so when I was a kid, we had ice cream social every year at the 4th of July. And we went out to the Woodson Bridge Park in Corning, and everybody made their ice cream there. We had the fireworks, you know, little cones that you could put off and the sparklers. And do you guys remember those little pellets that you'd light them and they'd make this snake? Oh man, those were the coolest things. But what was really, really cool for me was around in the back, across the street from the park was a house that was belonged to a member of the congregation. And behind it, they had an orchard that they had, and they had a, like an old barn that had some old tools in it. And I just thought it was so cool to go out into that barn, and they had a grinding wheel, and you could with your foot and you could grind stuff. And I just thought that was the coolest thing, and I would like try to sharpen rocks or whatever. I just thought it was so cool. Okay, so the thing was, I never did anything with them, right? I just sharpened. I thought it was cool to sharpen, right? Okay, so this is what we do not want to get stuck sharpening. Now we come to church and we hear stuff and we read our Bible and we think, wow, this is cool, and we are preparing ourselves, but we never go out to share the gospel. We got the wisdom. We got the grace and the mercy. We got love for ourselves. We got love for our neighbors, but we never actually get around to letting them know it. Pointless, right? Pointless. A garage full of tools, just the right tool for every job, everything in its place, is pointless if you never use the tools, right? And this is the thing, is so many times as Christians in churches, we come and we congratulate each other and we feel good, but we forget to go out and be useful to God in our everyday lives. You see, coming to church is a wonderful and beautiful thing. Spending time in prayer and study is essential because tools need to be cleaned and sharpened to be useful. They need to be cleaned and sharpened from time to time on a regular basis, right? But if you never use the tool, right? You see where that's going, right? It's pointless. You don't need to keep sharpening something that was never used, right? You don't need to clean it if it never got dirty. We're out there. We're trying different things. How can we share the gospel today? Where is the world hurting and broken, and how can we bring the love of God into that? I've been hearing conversations in the larger church, and I've been attending conference year after year, and the United Methodist Church is having some struggles. And one plan that has been put forward that is being embraced is that essentially all the congregations are given 10 years to prove their worthiness. If they're not worthy, we close them and sell the assets to pay for other ministry. It sounds harsh. It sounds like one way to, sharpen the tools in a way. But it also sounds to me short-sighted. This world needs more ministry, not less. And how can we as a denomination be out there sharing the gospel if we're closing more and more churches? We set the standard high for ourselves. We strive for that constantly. We accept when we make mistakes. We ask forgiveness of God. We ask forgiveness of others. We work on our relationships. And we listen attentively to God. And sometimes God speaks to us in prayers, and sometimes God speaks to us through human suffering. Where are people hurting and broken? Where in the systems that we have set up, where are people being left out, being marginalized? Where are people's lives impacted negatively? This is where God is calling to us. How can we use our churches to address this? This is our work. To hear the need and the brokenness and to bring God's healing love into the midst of that. See, we have to be filled with God's healing love ourselves. We have to accept that for ourselves. Had an amazing insight shared with me just yesterday that I need to share with you about healing and God's healing love. My husband was teaching this to me from a conversation he had with someone else, and he said, "You got to let go and let God." And the person said, "I don't know how to let go and let God." It can be hard sometimes, can it? It can be really hard sometimes. We want to control it. Got to let go and let God. The person said, "I don't know how." And he said, "If you're holding, like you pick up a pan or a cup out of the microwave sometimes, right? And they're too hot, do you keep holding it?" No, you let go, because to keep holding it will hurt you. You let go. And that's the same thing with a lot of the pains that we carry inside of us. that we keep holding on to them, even though it continues to hurt us? Why don't we just let them go then? The same way we would let go of something that's burning our hand, just let go of it. Because we want to control the outcome, you see. And if we just let go of those hurts and let God heal us, we don't have control over it, you see. So we pretend like we're God and we're going to figure out how to fix it. And it doesn't work, doesn't it? Because we're not God. And we can't fix ourselves of all of the pains that we've experienced in life. But God's love can heal us in ways we never anticipated, you see. So we practice that letting go and letting God. Let go of the hurts and allow God to heal us so that we are the strongest people we can be, so that we have an inner peace and a joy and compassion and a presence that this world needs. And we listen to the pain of the world. Sometimes we need to talk about it in groups, and sometimes we know a word right then to help bring God's word, God's healing and mercy into the world. We set the bar high, and we strive for that. And we accept when we make mistakes, and we set the bar up and go again. And we exhort the world to try as well, and to try God, and to experience the healing presence, and to carry that healing presence with us as individuals and as a congregation, stepping out in faith, stepping out in risk, using our buildings for more than just Sunday worship. How exciting. I love this congregation, and I actually got to see Pastor Denise yesterday, and I thanked her for the good work she did here, because I know that after 13 years, she had an influence, and this congregation is amazing, and I am blessed to be here. I am blessed to be here. And Sundays at this congregation in this facility is amazing, how it's used all day long with so many different languages and so many people coming to get polished and sharpened and ready to go out, you see. But Sundays is just one day. The other 6 days are just as important. What we're doing when we're not here is just as important. And by the way, is there something we can be doing here the other 6 days of the week to share God's love and healing in the world? You see, this is what I think the conversation in our congregation and in our denomination needs to be about. Not prove your worth or we're going to close and sell the assets, but how can we use our buildings the other 6 days of the week to bring God's love and healing into this world? Where is our community hurting? And what can we do with this amazing asset and resource that's been entrusted to us? See, this congregation does amazing ministry and uses its buildings in a wonderful and creative way. Is there more we could do, possibly? Is there more we can do as individuals and as a community beyond these walls the other 6 days of the week? Probably. You see? And the exciting thing is that I hear the conversations happening. I hear people thinking and praying and opening themselves. How scary is it, do you think, the first time you flip upside down to pole vault? You know? I mean, it's hard. You hit the cup, you drive into it, your pole bends, and suddenly it's flipping you in the air. How scary is that, right? I think that's what it's like when we start stepping out in faith, when we start taking that risk and sharing the gospel in ways we hadn't done before. I think it's that scary. I think we'd rather watch other people do it and go, wow, that was great. Woo! But God is inviting us to set the bar high, to strive for that, to hone our skills, to wrestle with the tough teachings, to find out inside of ourselves, what are the impediments inside of me that's impeding the work of the Holy Spirit. And then to be used by God in the world. Will you join me in a prayer about that? Loving God, we do want to be used by you. We came here today hungering to know you better and longing for our lives to make a real difference in this world. God, we confess that it is scary when we think about letting go and letting you take control and guide us. It's scary when we think about maybe flipping upside down and our world changed all around. And yet we know that our world needs to be changed all around. We see so much pain around us, and we have experienced so much pain within us. We ask that you would help us to have the courage to allow you to hone us, to sharpen us, to strip away all of the rust, all of the dullness, to make us ready and worthy instruments to share your gospel. Keep us humble. Keep us walking with you that we might truly seek justice and love kindness all the days of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Marvelous.